Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kurt Klein. That's my wife, Katie, there. Like Phil said, our two boys, he's a lot taller than I am. Our two boys, Max and Derek, are not here today because they've been feeling ill over the last week. And they also have an operation under anesthesia coming up. Well, it's an exam under anesthesia coming up on Tuesday. And so the healthier, the better for that. We had a scheduled appointment for them just to kind of give a little update about what's going on with them. We had a routine checkup scheduled with their ophthalmologist in Columbus, and when we went, we did receive really good news, but we also received some bad news that Max had some blood in the back of his eye. They weren't exactly sure what was causing that. The pressure in his eye was also up. And so they had to get that down, and they had to check and see what was going on. So they scheduled another appointment with a retina specialist the following day or two, and to see if they could find out what was actually causing the blood and the pressure to rise. They scheduled an ultrasound. So that night we prayed for Max and went into the appointment the next day. And the retina specialist looked at the back of his eye and said, "I don't see any blood. I don't know what you guys are talking about. The eye looks the same as I saw it when he was younger." So with that being said, he said, "I do want to do another exam under anesthesia to check the good eye as well, to see if the health of the good eye remains the same. If it's not, they do a little laser operation on the blood vessels to fix that. If it is, then we go home that same day." So we're kind of looking to see what ends up happening there. We do have a praise, though, that we had always been told that Derek only had a peripheral vision. This is both of them in their right eye, maybe just some light or peripheral vision. And on this checkup, as Derek was being evaluated by like the nurse practitioner there or whatever, she covered his good eye and was trying to have him read letters. And I'm thinking, like, why is she even doing this? You know, we've been told for 4 years. And as she walked him closer, he said, "H." And it was like, what? From about 10 feet away, he identified like a 6-inch letter H. And so now he's actually getting prescription for both eyes. So a praise to God. I don't know what's going on there, if they misdiagnosed it earlier, or if God's working a miracle, but still we praise God either way, because we know that He is faithful. So anyway, that's a little update about Max and Derek. Obviously, if you have other questions, feel free to ask us any other time. But it is an honor to be able to speak here this first Sunday after Doug's passing. You know, it's a blessing to be in this position. You know, I pray that God's name would be glorified by what is said, you know, and I hope to just draw attention to what God has been doing in the Dominican Republic and in our lives and in the lives of the kids and all the people that have been involved in the Dominican. Today, we're specifically going to be talking about faith that changes lives and how we can use this as a model. And how we do use this as a model in our ministry and in our school and in our personal lives. We're going to break down today what faith is and how we can apply that to our lives and how we disciple people to produce real change. So Freedom International Ministries is a discipleship-based ministry, as many of you guys know, that focuses on developing relationships that impact individuals and communities and teaches them to walk by faith, where they can learn to love God, love people, and live out their God-given design. So when the Simulses were here, they shared all about what God has been doing, all the growth, the building, all the new missionaries, the 90 new three-year-olds, all those amazing things, physical growths that we're seeing going on down there. But, you know, and so I'm not going to go over those types of things today, although if you're like me, you might need a refresher, but we can talk about that another time if you would like. But I really want to go over today, you know, those things are the really the physical manifestations of what God is doing in the lives of students and faculty and team members and interns and, you know, even missionaries. You know, those things, those physical things in and of themselves are not the goal. You know, they're not the goal or even the measure of success. So you ask yourself, what is the measure of success? You know, is it how many kids graduate from the school, our graduation rate? Is it how many people come to Christ? Is it, you know, the full vision of freedom being completely completed? One thing that God seems to really be impressed with, though, as you look from Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, and I believe is really the measure of success, and that is faith. But what is faith exactly, and how do I do it? You know, I've seen that inside of Christianity there's a problem with defining exactly what faith is and how to use it. So I want to first look at Hebrews 11, which is a famous verse or two that explains what faith is. And I want to include in there some of the Greek words to help better define some of those potentially confusing words in there. So it reads like this. Now, faith is the assurance or confidence of things hoped for or expected, the conviction, which is also evidence or proof of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval or were commended for or bear record of. So you ask yourself, how can you have proof or evidence of something that's not seen? And that's really actually very simple, because when God says it's going to happen, it's as good as it already has happened. And so that is the evidence or proof that we have. It's the promises of God. That is the evidence and proof that we can put our faith in. So if you look down through then the list in that same chapter of each man or woman that's mentioned in the Hall of Faith, you see connected to each one of those a promise that they took a stand on. For example, Noah believed in God, and he built a boat. Abraham believed in the promise of a son, the promise of the land, set out, was even willing to sacrifice his son, Isaac, because he knew that a generation had to come through Isaac, and so God would raise him from the dead if need be. Moses, because he was looking to the reward, to the promised land, he led the Exodus. And if you go back to each one of those people in the Hall of Faith, you can identify what promises they decided to stand on and what they decided to hold to. So faith is not wishful thinking, you know. It's not hoping without confidence, hoping in something that you hope might happen. Faith is putting your confidence in a specific promise of God's word. That's how we exercise faith. So if any of you guys have been to Freedom, you may have seen this example using a chair. It's one of Jason's favorite examples. It's one of my favorite examples of how we put our faith in God's promises. So you might think to yourself, you might come here today feeling condemned, feeling like you're not worthy to step in front of God's throne, that you're not worthy to be in God's presence. But Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so you stand on top of that promise. And you put your faith in that word of God. That's a true promise for your life. That's a true promise for my life. And so you stand on top of that promise. And there's all sorts of promises like that throughout the Bible. Ephesians 4:6 says, "One God, the Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all." God is in control. You know, those days when you feel like things are out of control, they're not. How do we know that? Because God is in control. You put your faith and you say, this is a promise for my life. I can put my faith and I can stand on that today. Now, do things just miraculously happen all of a sudden and you just instantly feel relief? No, not usually. That's why they call it the fight of faith. It's a daily battle to put your mind to make that fight. It's a battle in here. It's a battle in your mind to fight that fight of faith. And that's what God measures success, because that's walking with God on a daily basis. Another promise, like Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace," here's the promise, "the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's either true or it's not. You know, it's either true or it's not. So you can decide, am I going to feel anxious about this? Am I going to be worried? Or am I going to, in prayer and in thanksgiving and petition, give my request before God and expect that the peace of that passes all understanding will guard my heart and my mind? James 5:1 says, "If you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." That's a promise for God. Do you want to believe in that? Do you not know what to do in a certain situation? You know, are you feeling anxiety over a different decision or something that's going on in your life? Where am I going next? You know, who hasn't dealt with that? But we have those promises, and that's what we can put our faith on. That's how we walk by faith and choose to follow God. That's what impresses God. That's what is the measure of success. Are we walking by faith in our lives? So what is not, then, a good representation of biblical faith? It's putting your confidence or faith in anything that is not the Word of God. You know, we tend to get our truth, and we interpret truth through a lot of different avenues. Sometimes it's our experiences. Sometimes it's through our community. We all have worldview, whether we like it or not. We see the world through a certain set of lenses. Here, we see through the lenses of Midwest Ohio. Okay? And we try to see as clearly as possible through God's lenses, but it's not very easy because there's a lot of things influencing that. But the only thing that never fails is the Word of God. And that's where we must put our faith on. That's where we must stand on. And this is how we are discipling people at Freedom. We're trying to teach people how to stand on God's promises. And each of us have that same opportunity on a daily basis as we choose to fight the fight of faith. I have a picture of a young man here. His name is Seba. You might notice that in one picture he's a lot younger than in the other picture. That's because Seba is now in fourth grade. Seba comes from a very difficult family situation. His dad is a witch doctor in the village that he lives, has children with multiple women. His mom is completely irresponsible, which causes all of his other siblings to struggle with the same types of behavioral issues. Seba has particularly struggled with anger. You know, he gets into the corner, he'll throw desks, he'll cuss out the teachers, he'll slam himself into the wall, he'll throw himself on the floor, he'll throw temper tantrums like a toddler. But over the years, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with Seba on a daily basis in the office, and it does happen on a daily basis, counseling him on how to handle these different types of situations, teaching him about his identity in Christ and who Christ says he is, praying with him and giving him discipleship. You know, Steva still struggles. There's no doubt he still struggles. He may be struggling, you know, today as we speak, although it's Sunday, maybe tomorrow. But, you know, there's no doubt that he has grown and continues to grow in his identity in Christ. Steva now knows the truth. He knows what those promises are. He knows that he doesn't have to feel that way. And when other people make fun of him and pick on him, he doesn't have to react in that way because he doesn't have to find his identity in the way that other people say, the way that other people think about him and the way that other people say he is. Steva has another option to believe. You know, without freedom in the lives of these kids, along with the other 410 students in our school, their lives look very, very differently. Most likely, if you're a girl, you're pregnant by the age of 13 to 15 with a much older man, probably somewhere around 30 to 40 years old. You're most likely out of school since there's only a 10% graduation rate. If you're a boy, you're most likely into alcohol, even gangs, doing violent acts, fighting with basically everyone, unable to have really meaningful relationships. And that was their future, you know. And I'm not saying that we have a guaranteed solution here that every single kid is going to, you know, graduate and be following and walking with Christ in the lives. Obviously, we pray that that's the case, but we know that they may not be. But we do know that they now have another option, that they do know a different truth, and they can have a different worldview. And that's what we're trying to point them to. We're trying to point them and teach them how to walk by faith in their lives on a daily basis and live out their God-given design, what God designed them to do. So if you're invested in freedom, and many of you guys are, this is where your investment is going to. It's not into buildings or curriculum or food or gas, but it's into teaching people how to have the freedom to walk in a relationship with God, the freedom to build meaningful and lasting relationships with other people, and the freedom to live life in a purposeful and meaningful way. And this is what, you know, this is what we're about at Freedom. This is what we're trying to do. This is our goal. And that's what we're about, you know. Katie and I will be around today after the service to answer questions about other types of things. Normally I share things about how to get involved and different things like that. But I think many of you guys already know those types of things. But anything else that you guys have questions about after the service, we'd love to talk with you if you have questions about internships or things that are going on, child sponsorships. We'd love to talk to you guys about that kind of stuff. I'd just like to close us in prayer, and then I'll turn it back over to Sean. Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dear Lord, I'm so thankful for today and the opportunity to just share in this with this group of believers, just share in common with our faith in the one true God. Lord, we're just so thankful for the way that you're working in each one of our lives. I do just pray for wisdom in each one of us as we walk through daily struggles, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to walk with us as we try to walk by faith, as we try to stand in our promises. I just pray that you would give us peace that passes all understanding as we go through difficult times. And I pray that you would give us knowledge and give us of your word so that when difficult times come, Lord, that we would know how to put our faith and trust in you and put our faith on your promises. Lord, thank you so much again for the opportunity to be here and to share with one another. In your name we pray. Amen.